Heavenly Father, may everything we do bring glory to you, Lord. In our daily routine, in our lives, please help us to serve you, Lord. And Lord, please speak to us this morning. May your Holy Spirit bring your message to us, a message that will touch our hearts and change our lives, Lord. Help us to not leave this place in the same way that we came in this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Rafa. I'm part of the staff here, and it is a pleasure to have you here with us. I have a question. Have you ever been through a situation that made you doubt God's goodness? Have you ever been to a situation that made you doubt God's goodness? A moment in your life that you thought, how could the good God allow this to happen? I've got a text this morning, from my uncle. He's in Brazil. And then he was just sharing the passing of his mom. And she was 96 years old, mature believer. And he was sad, of course. But then he said, Deus é bom o tempo todo. Translating, it means God is good all the time. There's a small country in the world called Haiti. And it's a small island nation in the Caribbean. A while back, when the whole world was suffering from the COVID-19 crisis, Haiti's president was killed. He was assassinated. A little after that, an earthquake, 7.2 magnitude, hit Haiti again. Around 1,400 people died. 37,000 homes were destroyed. After that, while the rescue teams and volunteers were helping people to come from all the buildings and helping them with their the aids that they need, a storm hit Haiti. Rescue camps were destroyed. People had no place to go. If you go to Haiti today, you see that destruction is part of the landscape. Some may question, what have they done wrong to deserve such tragedies? Others may argue that Haiti is just in the wrong place on the earth, a place vulnerable to natural disasters and so on. But how can we go there today and say that God is good all the time? How can we do that? We don't live in Haiti. We are in Ireland. We have no earthquakes, no storms. Ireland's president, he is fine and well. But what about you? When you look at your life, can you say that God is good all the time? Can you say that? Maybe not. And that's fine. We're going to see it today that it's actually okay. As Johnny said last week, how we perceive God to be really matters because it determines how we relate to Him. I'm going to say it again. How we perceive God to be really matters because it determines how we relate to Him. If you think that God is selfish, bad, cruel, it will affect your desire to be with Him, to relate to Him, to enjoy His presence. I don't know about you, but I like to be in the presence of good people, nice people, those that lift my spirit, people that make me laugh, that bring me joy. I think you're the same. If we see God as a bad guy, chances are very, very low that you will want to spend time with Him. Your time with him will be more out of obligation, duty, than a time of enjoyment. We come to God is good even when bad things happen. Here's our theme today. God is good even when bad things happen. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 13, verse 1 to 9. If you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to open it, to open your Bible now or your Bible app. And if you don't have it there with you, we'll project it on the screen. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to find it there on your Bibles. So Luke chapter 13, verse 1 until verse 9. Verse 1. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year. I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." As we look at this passage, we can see that atrocities and calamities, they also happened at Jesus' time. And also, people were asking for explanations for these things. They were also there. I confess that when I first read this passage, I thought, who were those Galileans? Who were those 18 people who died when the tower fell down? Did they deserve what happened to them? Then I started researching about it, and I realized that that wasn't the point of the passage. What happened to the Galileans was an atrocity. Pilate killed, or perhaps he commanded his people to kill those Galileans. The people asking Jesus about it, they were either trying to corner Jesus and see if he would say something against Pilate, or they were warning Jesus about Pilate, or even they were just wondering and gossiping. But for their surprise, Jesus brought another situation about the tower that fell, killing 18 people. This one was a calamity. And Jesus' point for both cases was that instead of trying to find someone to blame for what happened, they should be concerned about their own lives instead of spreading gossips. Repenting from their sins was something that they should be considering. Otherwise, they would also perish. I could stop here. But then some of you would think, oh, where is compassion? Where is grace? Where is God's goodness? How can we ignore what happened to those who suffer? I had this thought in my mind. And when I was preparing the sermon, I asked for God's help. Because it wouldn't be fair to say, don't focus on what happened. Now know that God is good. That's what matters. Repent and enjoy His presence. No. It wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be right. It is correct, but it wouldn't be right. To understand that God is good even when bad things happen, we will break down this theme. How do we know that God is good? Let's look first at God is good. How do we know that He is good? Jesus Himself affirmed in Luke 18, verse 19, when the rich man called Him and said, "Good teacher." And Jesus said to him, "No one is good but God alone." No one is good but God alone. God's goodness is part of who He is, and it doesn't change according to the circumstances. It is not the case that God thinks, "I will be just now, so I cannot be good." Or, "Now I will show my anger, so I better hide my goodness." No, God's not like that. He is good all the time. The situation or the issue here for us is that we don't understand why some things happen the way they happen. That's the point here. Most of you know that Daniel and I, we have two kids. They are twins. And she had a massive pillow that helped her to nurse the kids when they were babies. And then she asked me to drop this pillow to a lady that was is pregnant at the moment. And then it just donated to her. So I think it was last Thursday or Wednesday, I was driving and I just dropped down and I brought the pillows to her. Then he told me that she was pregnant. She's expecting triplets. When I saw the lady, I was, "Oh, how are you? Good to see you," and being polite. And I said, "Congratulations on your triplets." And she said, "No, one of them died, so they're just twins now." My face just went down. And in my mind, I was like, why did I have to be polite? I was just supposed to drop the pillow and go and say, "Here's the pillow," and go. But I asked her, and she was fine. I was surprised. And then it gave me the opportunity to talk to her for a couple of minutes. And she was explaining her situation. And she was fine. And she even said that it was hard. It was just 2 weeks ago. But she had to concentrate on the other two babies. She had to eat well. She had to sleep okay. Otherwise, it would affect the other babies. She didn't have time to mourn. But she was fine. She was strong. I could see that. But how could I just stop and say, "Look, God is good. You must just trust in Him. Turn back and go home." Would it be wrong? No, it wouldn't. It is right. But would it be appropriated? I don't know. I don't think so. That person knew that God is good. But at some point, she wondered why her baby had to die. Our lack of understanding doesn't change who God is. Our lack of understanding shouldn't change our perception of God. It raises another point now. Can we question God? Is it okay to argue with God? Here's another point. When we talk about people that suffer in the Bible, who is the first name that comes to mind? You can shout it. Job, yeah, praise God. Yeah, Job, yeah, I have it written here. And yes, Job. When I was a child, I thought that Job's story was just couple of chapters, and then the rest of the book was about other things. But no, the whole book, I think 42 chapters, all about his suffering, what happened to his life. And that's amazing. If you haven't read this book, please do. Job never cursed God. The man, he lost his family, his possessions, his health, and he never denied God. The furthest he got was to curse the day of his birth. So, shall we be like Job? Must we be like him? No. Maybe not. There's another book in the Bible called Lamentations. The name per se talks a lot about the book. A book where the author reflects on the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. This person questions God. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us for so long? Is it okay to question God? Was he right on what he was doing? Yes. God was there and ready to listen to what he had to say. He was being honest with God. He didn't understand the situation. He was doubting, and he asked. That was fine. That was totally fine. Jesus at the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, he was carrying the weight of our sins, the sins of everyone, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is God good all the time? Yes, he is. Is it easy for us to see that all the time? No. At times, it is not. And when we feel that we don't understand or that we don't agree with what's happening, we should ask him. We should ask God. Question him. Be honest with him. And be honest with yourself. Don't fake your feelings. Face it and bring it to him. He wants to listen to you. He wants to know what's in your heart. And how do we get to this stage? Psalm 34, verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It is part of the experience with him. You won't know unless you relate with him. You won't know unless you have a relationship with him. Taste and see. It is an experience and a perception. I love it when I go to the supermarket or when I'm walking on the streets and there is this, people are offering samples. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I love it. And I always stop. And I try what they are offering. But if you are giving your product as a sample, you must trust your product. You must be sure that your product is good. You must be sure that after tasting your product, people will come back, that they will buy your product. God, he is sure about his goodness. And he is inviting us to taste and see. He wants us to taste it. He wants us to experience how good he is. Taste and see. You need that to understand that God is good. Now, the second part of the statement. God is good even when bad things happen. I just changed a little bit. Is God good when bad things happen? Is God good when bad things happen? The next slide there shows John chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. Verse 1 says, As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night's coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. This man, he spent his whole life not seeing anything. He was blind from birth. And it was not because of his sin or the sins of his parents. It took him many years to understand that his blindness would one day bring glory to God, that God would work in and through his life. Maybe he doubted and questioned God. Why can't I play like the other boys? Why can't I work in the field like the other man? But one day, he understood that it happened so God's work would be displayed through his life. Will we one day understand why there is so much suffering and disasters in the world? I don't know. Will we comprehend why good people face awful situations and awful people succeed? I don't know. We need to remember that good people also succeed, and also awful people suffer as well. As Jesus said, the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. But will you understand the reason for that in our lifetime? I don't know. Will you understand in your lifetime why you have lost your loved one so tragically or suddenly? I don't know. And it is fine not to know these things. I'm sure it doesn't give you comfort, the comfort that you need, but we don't know. We need to trust God. Is it easy? At times, it is not. But we need to remember that He is good. Phrases like, God knows, when people come to you and you're suffering and they say, there's a purpose for everything, or just pray, just keep on praying, they are correct. But sometimes they don't help. I hope that even in the midst of mourning, suffering, and doubts, you will understand that God is good and that He loves you. God is good and He loves you. You may have doubts in your mind, but don't let them stop you from living with God, from enjoying His presence. Even when bad things happen, He is good. No one can change who God is. We must taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. We will pray now, and our prayer will be Lamentations chapter 3, from verse 19 to verse 24. So let's pray together. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet, these I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Amen.